Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 24th, the year of our Lord, 2026, and this is the day of Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray that you are well. I pray that our time together will be a time of healing and renewal, revitalization. It's a special weekend. This is Memorial Day weekend. And as we begin worship this morning, we pause. We pause to remember with gratitude and humility those who gave their lives in service to our nation. On this Memorial Day weekend, we honor their sacrifice, pray for their families, and give thanks for the freedoms secured at such a great cost. Pause and give thanks. And in continuing in this spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude, we begin as we traditionally begin here at the podcast. We begin by paying attention to our breathing. So let's take a big, deep breath together. Take it in and hold on to that breath. Don't just hold it, savor it for the gift that it is, the gift of life. Let it go and take in another one. Another gift. Another reminder of the gift that is breath and life. And as you continue to breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that you have, those things that fill you with joy and hope and encouragement. Picture them. And as you call these things to mind, give thanks to God for all of them. It's all a gift. Perhaps open your hands as wide as you can open them. Extend your arms as wide as they can go. Reach out there. Turn your face toward the sky. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. On the day of Pentecost, your people gathered together, waiting for your Spirit. Breathe into me the restlessness and courage to make something new, something saving and something true. Like a rushing wind, your Spirit filled the house, awakening hearts with fire and hope. Breathe into me the restlessness and courage to make something new, something saving and something true. You poured your Spirit upon all people, young and old, dreamers and prophets alike. Breathe into me the restlessness and courage to make something new, something saving and something true. Spirit of God, move among us again today and make us restless, give us courage to make something new, saving and true. Amen.
Thank you.
Today's scripture reading comes from John 20, verses 19 through 22. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we gather together on this Pentecost Sunday, the birth of your church in the world. And as we gather and we lean in and we take time to consider the gift of this, your good and living word, we pray that you will abide with us, that you will settle our minds, bring us to a place of stillness. We pray that you will save us, that you'll save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us as individuals and as your church, the body of Christ. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, prepare to be blessed. We have a guest preacher today. We warmly welcome the Reverend Melinda Townsend. Melinda is an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ, and she has a very rich background in ministry, service, and leadership. I encourage you to read the biography that's in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast. If you haven't opened it already, it's over to the left under sermon notes. Just click on that and they'll come up for you. Melinda has become a very good friend. She's a newer member of the congregation. And I am just so grateful that she has agreed to lead us in this reflection on Pentecost. And so, without further ado, our dear friend and sister in Christ, Melinda Townsend.
First, I'd like to thank Pastor Jim for this opportunity. Thank you. And then I'd like to say happy Pentecost or happy birthday, church, because it's with the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples that the Christian church is born. In the gospel reading, we hear that Jesus breathed on them, his disciples, and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them, and they breathed in the breath of the Spirit. Let's just think about that for a minute. Breathing out and breathing in. I don't know about you, but I can take my breath for granted. even with all the life-giving power that I know it has and it offers me. Because of that, and if you'd allow me, I'd like to invite you to think about your breath for a minute. If you're comfortable doing so, close your eyes, or at the very least, drop your gaze, so there are no visual distractions. Take a deep breath through your nose. Hold it for just a second or two, and then quietly, with an open mouth, exhale that breath. Now repeat. Inhale deeply. And see if you can feel the air as it travels down inside you, and hold the breath. Exhale, noting how the air flows through you. Inhale deeply, feeling your mind and your heart begin to settle. Exhale. And as you do so, let go of all that was distracting you. Fears, worries, anxieties, whatever they may be. Now, before we take our final breath together, imagine in your mind's eye being in that room with the disciples behind a locked door and being grasped by fear. Suddenly, Jesus walks in and breathes on you. Now, for our final breath. Inhale that breath, the breath of the Holy Spirit. Hold it for a bit and exhale when you're ready. When you're comfortable doing so, open your eyes and lift up your gaze. How do you feel? Hopefully you feel a bit more settled, maybe even a bit calmer, and more aware of the very breath within you. Last week, Pastor Jim talked to us about prayer. If you find it hard to focus your mind when praying or meditating, as I do often, a breath practice like this or something similar can help quiet your mind and your heart. Jesus breathed on them. This one short phrase harkens back to a rich tradition in Hebrew scripture. In Genesis, we read, God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. Think about it. The first breath we take when we are born into this world, and that last breath we take when we die, are different from any other breaths we take between these two events. This reading from John relies on yet another imagery from Hebrew scripture. When God says over the dry bones in the book of Ezekiel, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. And then Ezekiel prophesied over them, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Breath is life-giving in so many ways. The disciples were clearly physically alive, so why did Jesus need to breathe on them? While physically alive, I would argue they were not truly alive because they were so caught up in the fear that had a hold of them. Have you ever experienced fear? I suspect everyone at one time or another in their life has been fearful. Undoubtedly, every woman has found herself afraid or fearful at some point in time, fearful of a very real danger, fearful of a perceived potential danger. Every veteran who has experienced combat has known fear, real or perceived. Any 18-year-old who had a Marine Corps drill instructor screaming in their face up close and personal has known fear. Most of which, fortunately, is only a perceived danger. Have you ever experienced a fear that left you frozen, unable to move, afraid to move? Bessel van der Kolk, in his book, The Body Keeps the Score, tells us that that amygdala, this tiny little place within our brain, is the source from which we have three dominant responses to fear. Fight, flight, or freeze. The disciples in the room are in freeze mode. They are afraid that the authorities are going to track them down as followers of Jesus, arrest them, try them, execute them, just as they had done with Jesus. The life force within this disciples is frozen. Their hearts are beating rapidly. Their breath is shallow and rapid. They might even be shaking and sweating. Then in comes Jesus to unfreeze them. Jesus moves quickly to reassure them by greeting them, saying, "Peace be with you." He says this not once, but twice, knowing how frightened they are. And he acts quickly to make sure they know beyond a doubt that it is indeed him, by showing them his hands and his side. Then he breathes on them. Just as God breathed life into Adam, just as life was breathed into the dry bones in Ezekiel, now too the Holy Spirit gives them the life force needed to overcome their fear, unlock the door, and step out into the world. Just as God sent Jesus, Jesus sends them. Now the very breath within them gives them life. Their heartbeat slows. They're able to take calm breaths. The sweating and the shaking has abated. Peace, a sense of well-being and wholeness has come over them. Life has been given to them. Life has been restored within them. That very breath within us, that very breath within us that gives life or restores life, helps us to unlock our metaphorical doors. Doors that may keep us safe, but may well wall us off from others and from the world. John's gospel can seem quite tame in comparison to the rushing wind, tongues of fire that are experienced by Jesus' followers in the Acts account of Pentecost. A force so mighty that the followers of Jesus were driven out into the streets to announce God's deeds of power, as the scripture would say. Yet we can't forget that even before breathing on his disciples in the Gospel of John, Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The Holy Spirit gives the disciples renewed life and empowers them to unlock that door so they continue Jesus's mission to the world. The Spirit gives them the restlessness and courage that we read about in our call to worship to step beyond their comfort zone out to the world. I'd like to invite you to take another breath with me. Breathe in deeply, as deep as you possibly can, to the point your lungs are, you can feel your lungs fill. And at the top of that breath, hold it. But this time, hold it until you get uncomfortable. Once you get a little uncomfortable, go ahead and exhale that breath. And return to your normal breathing. When you were holding your breath, at some point, didn't you feel like a balloon ready to pop if you didn't exhale? Our breath can't be contained, nor should it be contained. Our very life is contingent upon us breathing in and out. The Spirit works in a similar way within us. The life-giving message of Jesus cannot be contained within us when the Spirit resides in us, when we sit behind locked doors out of fear or out of comfort, we are missing our opportunity to spread the life-giving message of Jesus. We're containing it, locking it in. We might be comfortable, we might even be safe, but that wasn't Jesus' mission. He wasn't safe. It wasn't the disciples' mission. They weren't safe. Nor is it our mission. As the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and remained with him throughout his earthly ministry, now the disciples have been given the same Spirit. From the safety of that room, they are sent by Jesus and empowered by the Spirit to bring life to the world. As the disciples' mission parallels Jesus's, our mission parallels that of the disciples. So what is that mission? Each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, have their own way of characterizing Jesus' mission and ministry. They're all addressing different communities with different needs. While all are similar, they each have a different slant, and the Gospel of John has the most distinctive slant. And all of them, I think we can agree that Jesus' ministry is characterized as being life-giving. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the lepers. He embraced those that were ostracized and marginalized and judged. By being with them, by recognizing them, by talking to them, by even eating with them. He raised Lazarus from the tomb. By the way he treated people, they felt seen and embraced. They felt alive. As the disciples are released from the fear that has frozen them and are sent out to continue Jesus' mission, so are we. Now, maybe I'm being a bit too skeptical, but I suspect none of us will perform miracles of great healing or raise the dead to life. But as agents of Jesus in the world, we can be a life-giving force in the world. We can do this in many ways, big and small. Maybe we can start by recognizing those who feel the most invisible. Maybe we can make solid eye contact with them and even greet them. Many people today do not feel safe, and for a variety of different reasons. How can we be a safe harbor for them, either personally or as a church? At our communion table, we say all are welcome. As a church, I think we do this very well, and even in the strategic planning committee, we've called it the radical hospitality of this church. In personal ways, we can further Jesus' ministry by plugging into the very breath within us. I've been trying to do this more in my own life. It's a way we can be more life-giving to those immediately around us, the people we most impact. If we find ourselves anxious, can we stop for a minute or two and just take a few calming breaths? In doing so, we might find that our minds start to slow and the anxiety starts to dissipate. When we're less anxious, people around us are less anxious. If we find ourselves about to react out of impatience, frustration, or anger, can we take a few deep breaths? And maybe our reactions will be less sharp, or maybe, just maybe, we'll have no need to react at all. If we find ourselves about to say something needlessly hurtful, can we breathe into that moment and that space so we can let it go unsaid? By plugging into that very breath within us, we plug into the very Holy Spirit within us who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit that gives us life and in whose power we can be life-giving. These are just a few ways that I can think of that we might join the disciples in furthering Jesus' ministry. I suspect you can think of some of your own. The church was born on that great day of Pentecost. Whether we prefer the story of it being by a gentle breath breathed on the disciples, or by a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire, for it is the Spirit who breathes life into the lifeless, whether it be dust, dry bones, or those of us frozen in place. It is the Spirit that motivates us to step outside of the locked doors that we keep because of fear, real or perceived. It is the Spirit that empowers the church. And by the church, I don't mean a building. I mean all of us who are followers of Jesus around the world. We are called to his life-giving mission and ministry. Breathe in the Holy Spirit, and as you breathe out, you are invited to go beyond the locked doors of your lives, beyond the doors of this church, to live a life worthy of Jesus, in whose steps we follow. For it is the very breath within us that gives us life, so we can bring life to the world.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, and Naomi and Ruth, God of Peter and Paul, Mary and Joseph, God of the unnamed faithful, it is to you, O God, that we pray. And we come to this moment together from a variety of backgrounds and traditions. But we come with our eyes and our hearts and our minds firmly fixed on you. And we come, God, with broken spirits and contrite hearts. We come in a spirit of confession. You know us. You know how we seek to follow. And sometimes, oftentimes we're distracted. Oftentimes we're impulsive. Oftentimes we are sinful. We confess this to you. And we pray that in confessing these things to you, that we might receive the promise of your grace, of your forgiveness. And so we do. We confess. And with faith and hopeful anticipation, we receive your forgiveness. And we continue in prayer. God, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand. We thank you for the beauty of the earth. We thank you for the people that we love. We thank you for the folks that we would name as strangers on the street, but you know each and every one of us. We pray for people in positions of power and influence. We pray, God, lift up among them people of great faith and humility, people of great character, leaders, true leaders in your tradition and according to your word. And God, you know us and you know our hearts. You know that some of us keep lists, prayer lists, to-do lists. Sometimes we write these down and sometimes they are things that just we continue to ruminate on in our minds. You know all of this. We take a moment in this time together to share all of this with you. To take these lists and to hand them to you, but the assurance that you will consider every word. And so we do. We hand you our lists, and we sit quietly so that we might hear your voice and feel your presence. And we break our silence. We thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we join together in celebration of a prayer that we have inherited, a prayer that we've learned in different ways. But we ask that you'd hear us as we say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so in anticipation of the new things that God is doing in our lives, of how this Holy Spirit is present with each and every one of us. I pray also that we will take some time over the next couple of days to pause and to pray for the people who have sacrificed their lives for our freedoms. With all of this in mind, we give thanks to God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.